Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Floor on Friday, the 14th of November, recording at 9:06 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights for this week. In terms of stock markets, they were mostly easier, but a little bit of drama here. China was particularly strong, talking about the A-share indices. And Wall Street was particularly weak up until yesterday, when we had some fairly decisive upside key day reversals for the U.S. stock market indices. Now, more about that in a moment, but the gains were partially retraced in here today. And government bonds, generally a steady week. The U.S. dollar generally firm, although it wobbled a little bit yesterday. The yen generally firm. And metals, so they've really bounced around stronger today. Precious metals, that is. Industrial metals have steadied up for the most part over the last week. Crude oil has been quieter, but remains soft, 56.55. And soft commodities, a little bit mixed, but still experiencing some downward pressure. Okay, so what's going on here right now? Well, in terms of stock markets, obviously still a lot of nervousness. The strength of the U.S. dollar and also the strength of the Japanese yen suggest to me that we're still getting additional asset liquidation. So that is still a problem for markets, and I don't think it'll be until we actually see the yen and the dollar roll over and break their upward trends against most other currencies that we will be able to conclude that most of that deleveraging is process has been completed. Now, I mentioned those key day reversals on Wall Street yesterday. They represent the third upward dynamic that we've seen within this trading range, or you could say the fourth if you go back to the 10th of October when this trading range commenced, when we had large tails on the daily candlesticks. That meant that the climactic sell-off that was taking place right into the 10th of October, that downward acceleration that on the 10th, the sharp additional declines were not maintained throughout the day, thus the tail. But normally, to see four signals of that magnitude, as I say, including yesterday's upside key reversals, would be a high probability buying signal under normal circumstances. And of course, all of us, I think, would agree that these are not normal circumstances due to the fundamental problems that we see. And nevertheless, I don't like to rationalize technical signals, or when I do, it usually costs me money if I see positions that are, particularly if I see adverse technical signals relative to the positions that I actually have. Now, disappointingly, say we did have Wall Street closed down today, although most of the, well, like yesterday's rally, which came mostly in the latter part of trading, most of the sell-off came in the latter part of trading here today, but it doesn't matter. We didn't get upside follow-through, which would have been quite encouraging from a bullish perspective. Nevertheless, the way I tend to treat this sort of signal, yesterday's keys I'm referring to, is that we would, since they are bullish signals, we would need to see closes beneath yesterday's lows to really fully negate the key and to reaffirm the overall downward trends on Wall Street. Now, when we get dynamics and signals such as the keys that we're seeing, and they do fail, that is, they still nevertheless almost always constitute warning shots across the bow that the prevailing trend is in its latter stages and is beginning to encounter, if it's a downtrend, that the supply-dominated environment is really beginning to encounter some real demand, suggesting that it's in the latter stages overall. And my guess is that's the worst-case scenario, that we are at a penultimate low for these stock markets, rather than the final low. Now, moving on to China. China's action's been very impressive overall. Europe's action this week has been generally better than the U.S., but these European markets have still drifted lower. China's shown the real relative strength this week, and China would be high on my list of possible candidates for base formation development and early leadership on the upside of the next overall rally phase. When I weigh it up, the probability is that we are at the early stages of a bottoming out process at best. And that means that I'm still feeling a bit cautious. I would like to see some base formation development. This is not a fundamental environment in which I feel I want to be aggressive in terms of anticipating recoveries in stock markets. I'm going to be more cautious, sit on the cash that I have, watch for the eventual base formation development, and consider investing in additional cash. Now, meanwhile, though, I think that the chances of a further mean reversion ranging rally are reasonably good for the rest of this year and perhaps into the first quarter of next year. So far, the mean reversion has been mainly in the form of sideways activities towards that moving average, which is, of course, still falling. Talking about that 200-day moving average, we illustrate so often on weekly charts and often refer to. Long-dated government bonds, the firmer tone that we see there is in line with the fears of weaker growth and also the anticipation of further short-term interest rate cuts. I certainly expect further cuts of short-term interest rates by most countries. I've described their policies in recent weeks as a major change in approach in terms of crossing the Rubicon, or the way I phrased it earlier was launching a motley armada into a wide Rubicon. But nevertheless, what we have here is a fundamental change in central bank policy urged on by their various governments. We're going to get stimulative measures, and they will continue until we see evidence of economic recovery. That is a good background overall for stock markets, but that evidence of economic recovery is still sufficiently elusive in the eyes of many investors who are more preoccupied with the continued economic downgrades and profit, more importantly, profits downgrades, and that this will delay that eventual improvement in markets. Okay, looking at the commodity markets overall, they have been hit and continue to be hit by some of the deleveraging that's taking place overall. A classic example, well, they were pretty well all classic examples, but The one I was thinking of, the world's most important commodity, crude oil, of course, having raced up to that $147 level. That wasn't because consumption of crude oil was going through the roof or production was suddenly dwindling. That was largely due to leveraged speculation. And the also some investment buying of tracker funds by university endowment funds, no less, and other respectable entities. Well, a lot of that money is has been coming out over the last few months, really from midsummer west, or I should say, from sort of July onwards. And I think there's still some selling pressure to go in those sectors. Although the chances are that we have seen most of the deleveraging that's likely to take place overall. Now, in terms of commodities on a long-term basis, as you know, I was an early and passionate advocate of the commodity super cycle, partly because commodities were coming off historic lows near the beginning of this decade, this century as well. And we had a synchronized global economic recovery developing following the 2001-2002 recession. That was an extremely bullish background overall. And the big drivers in terms, or the big driver in terms of renewed demand for these commodities was China. But most emerging markets were participating. Look at all the urban development, for instance, in the Middle East. And infrastructure development is going to remain a very important theme in the years ahead. But well, one factor that I cited, an obvious factor that would derail that commodity super cycle, or if not derail it, certainly interrupt it for a few years, would be a global recession. And that's really what we have. Not all economies will move into recession, but I think the IMF defines a global recession as GDP growth of 3% or less. And in recent months, you may recall, I've been on the pessimistic side of forecasts for both global GDP growth and corporate profits because I can see the trends. They're down. And I feel that the conversion on the road to Damascus, which prompted the central banks to change their monetary policies and for governments to change their fiscal policies, did not occur in time to really to prevent this weak economic environment that we're actually seeing. But the stimulative measures that are occurring will revive demand. Maybe that doesn't happen until the middle or latter part of this year, possibly even a little longer, but it will happen. And I'm not all that pessimistic, incidentally, about the bottoming out of economies and an improved growth outlook. I think we'll be seeing clear evidence of that from mid-year 2009 onwards. And that's a lagging indicator, of course, by the time you actually see the evidence. And I think stock markets will anticipate as they anticipated as they always have in the past. Moving on to the currencies, I talked about them in terms of deleveraging, the strength of the US dollar and the strength of the Japanese yen. I do not regard the dollar as a fundamentally strong currency, and the US does need a weak US dollar. And I think that once this deleveraging is over and that trend does begin to lose upward momentum for the greenback, that we will see a lot of those leveraged longs in that market begin to come out or even reverse positions. So I do look for a weaker dollar overall in coming months. I also feel that while we have powerful disinflationary, even deflationary forces in most economies right now, that central banks will stimulate and stimulate, erring on the side of inflation, as I said before, until we get that GDP growth picking up once again. And that will then revive inflationary pressures. But I don't think we have to worry about inflationary pressures, certainly not through 2009. And so we will get a window there when stock markets do much better, as they will have over-discounted the downside economic risks and then begin to discount the economic recovery before the overheating begins once again. And I think that's pretty much it in terms of my outlook for this week. It's been an interesting week. It's my first week back after my wife's recent illness, and it's good to be back. And thank you for your comments about her. She does continue to make steady progress. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.